Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hamster Teeth.
Hamster Teeth.
In the sun.
We're here for the new month. Slightly early, it's actually. Well, there's still a fair bit of. There must be still a lot of people who've got to do their tax returns because it's the second last day of January. So
it's sort of.
You've got loads of time.
It's five Mondays in January, isn't it? So that sort of. That makes it seem to last a long, long time.
Yeah, there's a lot of people moaning about the funny one. Sally Hughes this morning tweeted, welcome to the ninth week of January.
Yeah, yeah. It can feel a bit like that, but...
It's been all right,
it's been
it?
Nice. Yeah, it's been good.
Yeah, yeah. This end part of January is a bit of a celebratory time for us, isn't it?
Yes, it is, yes.
Well, we're passing and talking celebratory times. This is a one big group of people. How lovely.
Yeah.
We're just on
walking
the
and chatting.
Hampstead Heath in the beautiful sunshine.
Oh, yep.
Sorry, can I? I can't go in the mud there. Sorry, thank you. And, I didn't think it was going to be such a nice day.
It's absolutely gorgeous, yeah.
Wonderful.
Absolutely splendid. And you had a bit of a celebratory weekend, didn't you? You had a bit of a...
Yeah, I was here. I was in a group not as big as this lovely group of ladies here, but for Julia's birthday, we came for a walk up here on Saturday.
Oh, nice.
It wasn't as nice as this, though. sticking it one over on.
Yeah.
Me and Julia both said we had a really lovely time, really nice pals there. And then... You know, just in all smiles, having a great time chatting away.
Yeah.
Got home, shut the front door, and we just turned around to each other and said, I'm so cold.
Yeah.
I don't think we'd admitted it to ourselves, let alone each other.
Bracing walk on the heath.
Yeah.
Often does the trick.
That's
why
Sonny used to say that our friend Emily, who couldn't come at the weekend, but she always says, do you fancy a bracing walk on the heath?
Yeah.
As if
yeah.
The broad bracing
yeah.
is automatically appended to that sentence, which is, she's yeah. got a point. So, yeah, it's great. And have you got a table book for your anniversary?
Yeah, we're going to...
Put cliffhanger from last week's
episode. Yeah, no, we got a restaurant in Primrose Hill.
Oh, thank goodness.
The thing is, though, it's like the last time we were there, which was about 25 years ago, I don't know whether I mentioned it last week, we had a massive row. So we try to sort of...
The actual restaurant or Primrose Hill?
The actual restaurant. So we're going to try and...
We're going to put it to bed.
Lance that boil, yeah. Can we have the same table, please, and bring up the same stuff? So that'll be good fun. And we're going to go and see a movie as well. We're going to see The Fablemans.
Oh, that's supposed to be great, isn't it?
Yeah, I've heard it's fantastic, yeah.
I saw a clip. I was a little bit cynical about that, actually. Morning, look at that pair of magpies. It's going to be good.
Yeah.
Two for joy. You're going to have a good
joy.
Time. I saw a little clip, which was, I was cynical about it because it was obviously, I'm sure it's staged and it didn't, they pretended it wasn't, you know.
Yeah.
Press conference, little boy in the audience, Steven Spielberg on stage. Oh, that kid there.
Yeah.
And they went, who? He said, little boy there in a Jurassic Park t-shirt. And everyone went, oh.
Oh, right, yeah.
And
of course it's staged.
One with the microphone comes over and the little boy says... I really liked in the film about how he really loved his mother because I really love my mum. And everyone went, oh. And Steven Spielberg said, oh, thanks so much. I really love my mum. And I was desperate for him to say, It's not really a question, though.
Yeah. My mum's bigger than your mum.
Yeah. Stop talking about your mum and ask me a question.
And then there was
only got half an hour, very important man.
And then there was an alien in the corner talking about phoning home. Yeah. That's bound to be staged, knowing Steve Spielberg, isn't it? Bound to be.
Yeah.
But fun, though.
Well, the funny thing about Spielberg fun is moment. He's absolutely the best at the whole apocryphal story, isn't he? The ones you hear that they say, you know... I don't know, maybe it all begins with something true, because I'm sure that the shark in Jaws was a bit shonky.
Yeah.
But they also always say, just without compunction, the reason you never see the shark is because it was a rubbish special effect.
Yeah.
But surely the reason you never see the shark is because that builds tension massively.
Yes, but yeah, of course.
You know, you never see the other driver in Duel, and that's not because he was a rubbish special effect. He's an actual physical bloke.
He's very good at appearing... sort of folksy and disingenuous,
that's
isn't he, Spielberg?
Right.
Oh, he's obviously a genius storyteller.
Yeah, yeah. Other things like incredible special effects in Jurassic Park. And yet, you'll hear people say, the hardest special effect of all was getting those ripples on the top of the water.
Yeah, yeah.
And in the end, had to put a guitar string underneath the blah, blah. It's a lie.
And you're thinking, yeah,
just tap the edge of the table. Yeah. Easy. Morning, magpie. They couldn't find... someone to do the voice of E.T. until suddenly he was in the shop in the Midwest and he heard this croaky old lady and he said, you're perfect.
The, yeah.
Uncredited Deborah Winger.
Yeah, he manages to inject a kind of folksy backstory to these really high-end production movies, doesn't
he? Yeah, that's right. Which is the way to do it.
It's amazing. Well, it's great.
It just means you get the
he's
best
bright,
of both
isn't
worlds.
My,
he's incredible. And also, in all of his films, no matter how... you know, as he gets older, sometimes, like lots of great creatives, the story isn't as tight. Because if you're great at telling stories, you start to kind of want to play with it, don't you?
Yeah, I suppose so, yeah.
And, but he always has those genius left-field ideas, those moments, you know?
Oh, no.
That kind of, I never would have told it that way. Whether it's velociraptors in the long grass or, I don't know, the flash and splash of colour in Schindler's List.
Yeah, he's my Rachel's dad would describe him as a real high flyer.
Yeah, well, he is quite.
He's a real high flyer.
And a high.
He's done really well.
And a high flyer and a liar. That's what I would say. Spielberg, I'm calling you
he's
out.
He's a lying high flyer.
I don't think those dinosaurs ever existed. Well, we got into Spielberg this morning. Look at
beautiful,
the blue. Let me get a photo of the lake.
I wonder what he'd make of all this.
It's wonderful. This is actually the hardest special effect of all, creating this beautiful lake.
Nature. Just nature. Who needs special effects?
Look, a T-Rex.
Look at nature. Suddenly my head gets ripped off.
Talking of... but that's the other funny thing is that... I mean, it's been boring about films. I bring it on myself. But the thing they always do about... All people do about films is... Have we gone into the mud?
Oh,
this
we've really
bad.
Gone into it.
What were we thinking? it's quite a slope, isn't it? It's quite,
yeah.
It's quite
yeah,
risky.
We've really gone into it.
We're in trouble.
Caught us off guard.
We're saying that on all kinds of sources of film trivia, and particularly on the Internet Movie Database... If there's a good bit in a film,
yeah,
someone is going to claim that it was an accident.
Right. Yeah.
We started spoofing this, you know. They'll say, that bit where so-and-so cries wasn't in the script. He just happened to cry at that point. That great joke where that person does that thing, that just happened on set and they happened to tape it. It's rubbish. It didn't happen. I don't know why we can't accept that a well-told story is a wonderful thing without trying to
people
say that
do it intentionally.
True. Anyway, we've started spoofing.
So how was the...
We say to each other, you know that bit where the planet exploded?
Yeah.
They just happened to have the cameras on. The planet just exploded.
You know that bit where the ship hit the iceberg? Completely unplanned. It changed the film. Changed the film.
An iceberg had wandered onto set. So how's your running?
It's been going fine, actually. I mean, I had a few more runs last week. Did about 20, 25 miles.
Yeah.
Feel strong.
That's good. That's a good week,
starting
isn't it?
To feel strong. Yes. Yeah.
And
yeah.
How far are we going to go today? We're already a third of the way.
Already 3 miles in. Just a normal loop, I reckon. Just a normal loop.
Once round, twice round.
Once round,
long loop, little loop. One long one.
Yeah. Let's do that. Yeah.
So, do you want me to give you one long one?
Yeah. Do that.
Don't start. Hey, don't start. Laying the golden eggs.
And how's
By the way, I just was referring to a painting that you can't see of some ducks laying some golden eggs.
How's your running been going?
Well, highs and lows, but good really. I went out on Thursday and had a really nice run. I was hoping it would be half a marathon, but it was just over 12. But I thought, that's okay, just keep working up to it, you know.
Yeah.
But it was mainly flat. I sort of went over the bump of Barnsbury and then got on the towpath to Primrose Hill.
Nice.
But then I went up Primrose Hill. I got to the top and had a row with your wife. No, I didn't. I went to Primrose Hill and went up it five times.
That's proper training, isn't it?
Hill repage.
That's real training,
That we can't...
Strength.
We haven't got any mountains or even proper hills around here.
Yeah.
So I don't really like repetitions of any kind.
I don't like repetitions.
I don't really like repetitions of any kind. It's Groundhog Day. After see the groundhog. But I did it the other day. Because the nice thing about going up a proper slope... Lots of times is you are building a hill for yourself.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
That's the only way I can get my head around it. But
it's incredibly useful for strength training, isn't it?
Yeah, and that was great.
Yeah.
But I had a possibly not entirely unrelated, very second-rate park run on Saturday.
You went to Highbury?
I went back to Highbury.
Right.
Okay. It was tough to get there.
Yeah.
My guts are out of sorts.
Right.
I've been drinking. I was full of food and booze.
Yeah, that's no good.
And my gradually...
That's no good.
Week on week improving times did not improve.
Yeah, dead end, yeah.
And there was a little bit of, after last week's strong 10K, a little bit of bump.
I was tired,
down to earth.
Yeah.
But what are you going to do? Hey, there's a risk of
tied out.
Mud, but let's go right here. Go around this massive tree that's come down. That's a big one.
That's a grand tree,
old
isn't it?
Because otherwise you get into Kenwood too soon. Look, so you get in there for size. Watch out there, because T-Rex just behind you.
Wow. I wonder what happened. What do you think happened there, Rob? Do you think that's just sort of natural erosion? It just fell over with it?
Well...
Because it's a huge tree, isn't it?
Yeah, it might be wind. It could be where it is. The roots might have been...
Insecure.
Yeah, insecure because it's at the crossroads. Because it could be, I would say that normally when a tree like that falls down, it's because it was dead. So after a while, they fall down. But this tree wasn't dead, it's got buds on it. It was going well. It was doing all right.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's sad.
Yeah, it's a big old tree, that one.
The thing about a big, massive tree like that is trees grow slow.
Right.
When you lose one, it takes a long time to replace.
Right.
So it is bad news. I hate it when I see. Trees being taken out in houses and residential roads and stuff. You get it because, you know, trees versus houses can be a real conflict, you know.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, it's the thing of not seeing the bigger picture. You can imagine some people down the street saying, well, get rid of this tree, it's in the way. But they're not thinking, this is one of the many trees.
Yes, you know what I mean? It's a weird one because we've got a massive tree outside our house, which we love.
But it's probably hurting your house.
Well, it feels like it is, because the house is... There's so much movement in our house.
Yeah, yeah.
And there has been for years, and we've got... And the roots, thick roots, go directly under the house.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just one of those things, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It just means the house is going to fall down. It's just one of those things.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Just one of those things. Just hope you're out.
And then we live in the tree house, isn't it? We'll build a house in the tree, innit? Mix and match. Bit of both.
And have you got a handlebar set up so you can get to it in a hurry, like Macaulay Culkin in Home Alone?
And did you gig over the weekend? Then,
I did. I had a lovely gig, actually. It was a little bit too nice.
Oh, yeah.
There's a guy called...
They're great.
Trevor.
They're great,
those
gigs.
Have you met him? He's an older guy. Such a lovely bloke.
Old Trevor.
Trevor.
Good old Trevor.
The gigs are called House of Stand-Up.
Good old Trevor. I haven't done that, no. And I've never met Trevor.
He's a really nice older guy, kind of...
Right.
I think he's Essex or Kent.
Right.
And he was chatting away to me. So he's still doing the running.
All right.
I said, oh, yeah. And he's just... And so nice, so well looked after. Just constantly asking all the comedians need anything.
If you need
really nice venue.
Got any jokes?
Good money, lovely
anything?
Audience. Right. It's the kind of gig that makes you think, I wish it was like this all the time.
Yes.
Not to diss the other gigs, but it was just a bit of a... Just a wave through, you know, just beautiful.
Yeah.
Anyway.
A fleeting glimpse.
Absolutely. That was such a good show. And some people, running country people came.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah.
But yeah, I was chatting to this lovely Trevor.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, I'm doing the running. He said, because I used to do running in the old days. And he said, he used to do the mile when that was the distance.
Yeah.
And cross country here on the Parliament Hill, actually.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I said, what was your mile time back in the day? His mile PB, dating from 57, I think. So only a couple of years after Roger Bannister.
Yeah.
4 minutes and 13 seconds.
Nice.
That's incredible.
Wow, that's great.
It?
That's incredible running, yeah.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Particularly as not, you know, just the selfish perspective, but we can find a little turn of speed as distance runners. And you know what it feels like to run a mile, you know, half as slow as that again.
Well, or even to try and run 200 metres in like 34 seconds, 33 seconds, yeah, which is what that is. It's very hard.
It's really hard, absolutely.
And he ran eight of them back to back.
Well, that's what we were saying.
That
same conversation
got game.
We've been having, which is that it's all distance running, isn't it? Anything beyond 100, 200 metres, you're holding on to it and carrying on with it, which is what's fascinating. It's what's so great about parkrun.
He's done well there, though. Pre-Fitbit, pre-trainers.
Yeah.
They didn't even have shorts, did they? Just turn up in tweed, long tweed trousers.
No, naked.
All naked. That was up in Scotland. That was a different scene.
Ancient Greece. He was running in ancient Greece. Yeah.
And they went, Sparta! Thanks,
right,
Trevor.
Trachus.
Thanks, Trevor. Yeah.
And we've got a message I've got to take to Maris.
And then he just ran off. Didn't see him again. Whereabouts was the gig?
Phidippides, more like. Nippy. Phidippides, nippy. Didn't really work. It was in this theatre, which is built in 1924, so coming up to their anniversary, but it's like a really nicer than a hall, but the same vibe as when you do a gig in a hall.
Right.
You know, stage at one end, little balcony.
Nice, yeah.
Bar along the side. Lovely audience. Easy commute. It was a wonderful Saturday night doing comedy. So thank you, Oxted.
I did a gig on Friday in town, the Comedy Pub, it was actually okay. It's normally, they're normally a bit self-conscious as a crowd. You've got, as you do more gigs, you realise you've got to embrace a difference in every gig, haven't you?
Yeah.
So I just embrace a difference with this one. They're a bit self-conscious and young and unsure. So I just talked about that.
Yeah.
And had fun with it, and it was good.
It is fun, isn't it?
And the guy who was...
I caught myself having done a fair few gigs for youngsters recently.
Yeah.
Being ready to kind of explain to people half my age
what a joke
what it was like for us in the old days.
Right.
And then realised all the people at this gig were the same age as me.
Yeah.
It's like, this is a different experience.
But there's some guy was on...
look at that view.
At the Comedy Pub from the In-Betweeners, Simon.
Simon Bird?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
So he was doing some stand-up, so they were all very excited to see him.
Yeah.
And it just gave the evening a nice... And it was really nice. It just gave the evening a nice little dynamic.
Yeah.
And then Saturday I had two pretty rubbish gigs. Birmingham and Nottingham. Just a tonic, double up.
Yeah.
On first in Birmingham. Hard work.
Birmingham is the old, it used to be the Jonglers. Is the Nottingham venue the same? No, Nottingham one somewhere.
No, Nottingham's a bit different, but it was the first weekend where people got their paychecks, wasn't it?
Right, yeah.
So there's that vibe going on. I got to Nottingham.
Yeah, because it was the 45th of January, wasn't
On the morning of the 11th week of January, everyone gets paid. And they took to Nottingham and got slaughtered. By the time we got there, one bloke had been... Not only thrown out, they had to call an ambulance for him.
Oh.
Someone else had been...
As in, like, alcohol poisoning.
Yeah. Someone else had been sick in the crowd.
Yeah.
The front row...
Probably to some extent on the crowd.
Yeah, to a certain extent, yeah. And the front row was just full of...
Do you need the...
No, I'm all right. I think I'm all right.
You don't need to pop down to the... You don't want to have a little... Do you want to... None of that, no?
Not yet, no.
Okay.
Give it a couple of minutes. And the... and the front row, by the time I got on last, they'd reached that stage where they were just completely impervious to the gig. They were just chatting.
That's beautifully put.
They were lovely, lovely people.
But
just like
impervious
a bunch of young Asian lads, really into eating crisps and complaining loudly about that their drinks weren't the ones they'd asked for. But not a thought to the gig.
Yeah.
Before I went on, Daryl, who was comparing... Got the whole crowd to sing happy birthday to one of them twice.
Ah.
And then by the time you come on, you're just completely unnecessary.
They've forgotten why they came.
Yeah. I sort of played...
If they ever thought that in the first place.
I played over them sort of thing, but...
Yeah. Did you puke over them?
Yeah. That'll love that.
Get the people what they want.
But as you...
have you seen the film Witches of Eastwick?
But as you gig more, your hunger for that kind of thing dissipates, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sort of 30 years in.
Well, also...
It was fine, but what I'm saying is, sort of mentally... I was thinking, I failed to accept the gig
on the
terms that it was.
Yeah, that's right.
And it was just a stupid gig full of really drunk people. And I've had that before.
Exactly. The old standard is that you never blame the audience. And there's loads of truth in that.
Yes,
there are. You have to play the room. You've got to play the people you're in front of. But on the other hand, as...
If you don't like them.
For a more wonderful, more positive word, journeymen.
Yeah.
That only works to a certain extent. If the gig's not there... You just got to do what you can do with it, you know.
Yeah, there was a bit of that. So
I'm just going to... We should just run... I want a picture of this lovely sculpture. It's such a beautiful day.
Yeah, go for it.
I want to get some good pics. So come with me, Paul, to the rear of this...
Let's do a bit of sculpture.
...wonderfully situated Henry Moore.
Oh, my word.
This is a lovely sculpture here on Hampstead Heath by Roger Moore.
Oh.
made some figures.
Awesome.
We were laughing the other day at how... It's a few years ago now, but it was still the turn of the 80s when Moonraker came out. And yet, Roger Moore's James Bond, me finding out that Dr. Holly Goodhead is a woman.
Right.
Says, a woman. It's just amazing that she doesn't go, what year is this, James? For goodness sake.
Guys! Guys!
I fashioned this from metal in my studio in the southwest of England.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
So yeah, it was just like... 25, you know, 15 years ago, I'd have probably had a slightly better gig.
Yeah.
Even though I feel like I'm a better comic now, it was just, I just found myself checking out a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's no good. I can't blame
them.
Well,
I've never...
I can't blame them.
I remember doing you come from the audience, doing a particularly... Do you remember the Bistro Lives?
The Bistro...
It was just a room built for big parties to come out. And
right.
That was like the whole point.
Yeah.
They had covers band. And I said, right, do you have like an ABBA tribute band? And they were like, no, that's too specific. We just have covers bands.
Right.
You know, and all stag and hen do's or birthday parties. The whole place.
Yeah.
The whole diary.
Yeah.
And I was comparing. This was about 20 years ago.
Right.
And it was work. It was fine, but it was just constant.
Just a job of work.
Bringing
them
in, asking them to carry on.
Yeah, yeah.
Checking in with the table that had drifted away.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just what do you call it? Crowd control.
Yeah.
And then brilliant Kitty Flanagan. Who's always excellent. Moved back to Australia now.
Always a good
She went on. She did fine, but it wasn't easy.
Yeah.
And me and her were doing this really intense debrief of what worked and what didn't and what we could have done differently and stuff. Ian Moore, standing in the doorway, said, you do have to remember one thing. And we were like, what is it? And he said, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And he really had a point.
Yeah, he did have a point. Yeah. That was when he probably decided to move to France.
And become a novelist.
At that moment, yeah. Yeah, it's... Yeah, there comes...
That was Roger Moore, wasn't it, actually?
Yeah. This is a woman. There's certain points when you are just herding drunks, aren't you?
Yeah.
And I wouldn't mind, but it costs me a lot of money to get there and get back, and you don't get paid very much, do you know?
Yeah.
Not only am I herding drunks, I'm getting paid less than I used to do. So that's for me to work out.
No, I think that
little conundrum.
I think the one of the interesting things for us is, look,
Oof.
Alfie's gone into the woods. Alfie the dog has gone after the little kids. That's exciting. Alfie, wait a minute, Alfie's not a dog, Alfie's a velociraptor.
The dog.
No!
The dog training thing's perception of it's changed a bit, hasn't it, after that tragedy the other week where the dog sat on the poor woman walking her.
Oh, gosh.
Did you think about that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, some. It was just, I think it was around Wimbledon.
Yeah.
She was looking after like 6 or 7 dogs. And they just sat on her. And just, she's no longer with us.
Wow.
They're a pack, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah.
And if you've got a couple of big dogs in there, that's a very dangerous situation.
Yeah, well, it's interesting that you shift from audiences to dogs. But it's that sense of, that if there's lots of them, that the culture can change.
Yes.
If the culture isn't too strong a word.
Yeah, yeah, they see a weakness. And it's like... And then before you know it, but yeah, this gig was like, I went on, I was like, you'd be chatting to someone. Hello, mate.
Hello, mate.
You'd be chatting to someone who's married.
Savage. He's on me. He's on me.
It was that thing of like.
Sweet little brown spaniel.
These lads.
Comes up to Rob's leg. No! No!
These lads at the front, yeah, but I'd be chatting to like some married couple on the 8th row.
Yeah.
And you'd say, how long have you been married? Just have a little chat. And they were, oh, too long, too long. As if it's like the funniest thing that's ever been uttered about the state of marriage.
Absolutely.
And then I do my... I do a bit of barking. I go... I do my... Yep. And they say, oh, that sounds like Homer Simpson. It's like, maybe not. Is that, how useful is that? Yeah. Do you know what I mean? How useful is this?
Banter level low.
But boop, they just wanted to...
Boop, banter level
they just wanted low. They just wanted to be recognised, you
to
know.
To be in it, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And to eat crisps and
but
moan about the drinks.
But if they're going to be in it, they should try and be funnier than that.
Yeah, but I think they were trying to be funny.
I know they were.
Yeah. Oh, dear. I wonder how the people listening to this think that the problem's us or them.
Yeah, yeah.
Or maybe not even a problem.
One
just a Saturday night out,
isn't it? Whether it's positive, whether it's knowledge, whether we get stronger and stronger, or whether we just sound moany, when it comes down to it, we sound old.
Yeah.
That's just the way it is.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Totally.
Although, something interesting in a conversation we were having just near here the other... God, look at this.
Beautiful.
We're coming out of Kenwood Park into the Heath proper, into the
trees. Who cares about the gigs, when you got this,
And it actually makes you think, that to some extent we'll miss winter because look at the sunshine on these leafless trees.
We'll miss winter with all that sun, won't we?
Yeah, it'll be a nightmare.
Yeah.
All that light.
All that light and sun. Can't wait for the blazing heat of summer. Come back in August. This will all be fire.
Be ruined.
Yeah.
All right. It was just a thought. It looks nice today.
Oh, it looks absolutely gorgeous.
That's all I'm saying.
It looks beautiful.
So we were talking.
How long have
we
married?
Quite an interesting conversation about with some my daughter and family friends who we were in the lake district with last summer.
Yeah.
We went swimming at Black Moss Pot.
Right.
It's a fantastic swimming place.
Right.
And now very popular because it's been featured on Instagram.
Right.
But it balances out because it's miles from anywhere.
Yeah.
So there's not that many people there. But of course, it's A, completely unsupervised.
Right.
And B, genuinely dangerous.
Yeah.
Doesn't...
It sounds quite dangerous, doesn't it?
Black Moss Pot. Yeah. Well, that's the only thing. It's the reason I
knew
it.
Sounds like some kind of folk horror tale.
Yeah,
of...
That's right. Oh, it could be a good title for a film.
Yeah.
Someone's going to go in there and come out wet.
They went down Black Moss Pot.
I know where you swam last summer.
Never saw him again.
It's not in the West Country. it was funny because I knew it was there because we went looking for it once years ago because my dad had read about it in the Wainwrights.
Right.
And it's on Langstrath.
Yeah.
Which is a very Langstrath.
Yeah.
And we did this massive long walk which ended there. And by the time we got to it, we were like, oh, God. God, how far is it to the pub? You know, so we never found it.
Right.
And then one day I was running there a couple of summers ago, and I ran to it, and I was like, there it is. Oh, what a shame Dad never saw that. And then I thought, nah. Yeah. He wasn't a strong swimmer. Right. He'd have been at best scared.
Yeah, that would have helped, yeah.
And if he'd gone in, he'd have been in difficulties. Anyway, the reason I mention all that is because it relates to what we were saying about both packs of dogs and audiences, is that there's a real balance. When we went there, everyone had such a nice time, and everyone was being really kind of sensible.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of, there's a really nice sense of self-policing.
Yeah.
You can't guarantee that it's going to happen. But there was a sense that all the people there were kind of looking out for each other and paying attention
right.
to what the other people were doing. But I heard recently that someone was really hurt there. And
yeah.
I'm sure that's possible. But also, the thing I was saying the other day is, on the one hand, you've got this kind of group care sense thing.
Yeah.
But even with among good people, it always escalates because the bravest thing someone does becomes the lowest common denominator.
Becomes a new barometer for what's possible, so, sort of thing, yeah.
And like Daisy herself was saying, you're saying, just because we did it once, you don't want to go there and go to do it the second time and think, oh yeah, this is easy.
Yeah.
Because the first time you're all nervous and careful.
Yes, yeah.
They're a right to be.
Yeah.
Nothing's changed.
No, it's still the same, yeah.
And if all the same people are there for a significant amount of time, then it's just going to get more and more.
Yeah.
They're all going to get more reckless. It's just the nature
just
of
builds, it builds,
groups.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, in other words, watch out for deep pools of water and dogs.
Yeah, at Black Moss Park.
And Primrose Hill.
Yeah.
I went to Primrose Hill in, a very long time ago.
Yeah.
And some people started singing happy birthday to you. It was a lovely summer's evening. I mean, it wasn't as nice as this winter.
Yeah, no, nothing could be as warm as this. Yeah.
We were up the top there. Someone brought out a little cake and they'll start singing happy birthday. This lanky guy in a
nice
brown suit and a cool little hat. And it was Rhys Evans.
Oh, nice.
Right around the time of Notting Hill.
Wow.
But we were on Primrose Hill. Betrayal! And
what a talented man.
And then when we sang happy birthday to Julia on the top of Parliament Hill.
Yeah.
I felt she was having a Rhys Evans moment. Anyway, later that day, I went out on the doorstep in my underwear, and then she said, I went out in my goddamn underwear too. So, great days.
Did you slip up? What's those things? Did you slip up?
Slip away. That's some of the great timing.
Yeah.
Great timing.
Oh, it really was.
It's how long he waits for that. I don't think I've ever watched it. I've seen Notting Hill about, I don't know, a rough estimate, about a million times.
Yeah, at least.
And I think, I honestly believe that Rhys Evans has got a laugh out of me every time I've seen him deliver that line.
Oh, he's brilliant. Well, you know, that line wasn't originally planned. Purely accidental.
Yeah, it just happened. Yeah. They just happened to have the cameras rolling. Every time, guys. I still have moments.
Was that his sort of arrival, that movie?
I'm
sure he'd done other stuff. But
it's his Hollywood arrival. But that's what's great about it. It's because they use that. I mean, he's brilliantly versatile.
Yeah.
He'd already played kind of posh English characters by then. But his arrival is Twin Town.
Right.
Which was a like indie sort of Tarantino era crime thing set in sort of comedy, black comedy crime thing with him and another guy playing twins in South Wales. And Doug Ray Scott was in that. So Notting Hill's really good, and you kind of need Richard Curtis to do it because it's a proper Hollywood film, but it's a British one.
Yeah.
In not just in terms of personnel, but in terms of attitude. And so they get Rhys Evans in, and it's like
the comedy, the sidekick.
Yeah, but and they get it right, you know. Yeah, someone else could have done it. He's
perfect,
He's a true character. You know, he's playing a genuine trope that you don't see, that kind of.
And he's a bit, he's kind of grubby and sort of, but heart's in the right place.
And that's the other thing, and Richard Curtis does this well, is when you think about it, he is essentially the Greek chorus in that film. Everything he does, he says, makes sense. He's like Hugh Grant's crazy conscience.
Because he really calls him out, doesn't he, when he talks about...
When he says no to her.
When he says no to her, he goes, you idiot.
Yeah, when he doesn't say... I'm not going to say what he says.
Yeah.
Because we'll never break America.
Yeah, he's... no, he's
but
he's
it does
wonderful.
Lead to Hugh Grant saying, oh, sort of dog, I made a wrong decision.
She was just a girl stood in front of a boy asking... I suppose it's... It's not a bad thing, is it, that somebody wants you
it's
to...
Nice, it's nice.
It's quite a nice thing to say. I love the way that kind
she
of...
She said she wanted to go out with you. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's nice.
Yeah, I love the way the logic of his argument sort of falls away when uttered out loud. You know? Oh, I'm a sucker for those kind of films done well. I really am. That's lovely.
Yep.
This is a great run today.
It's a quality one.
A lot of film chat. A lot of film chat, but that's okay.
The rom-com thing, we talked about it before, and it's got that quality, isn't it, where they both Anna Scott and William Thacker need to get over themselves before they get together.
Yeah.
Which is important in a rom-com. But also, just one last thing on films. We've talked about it before, but as January comes to an end, remember, the two best winter films that aren't necessarily Christmas films are Moonstruck and Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
It's Groundhog Day on Thursday.
All right.
We'll be watching it. February the 2nd. Dig in.
I actually hadn't seen it for ages.
Yeah.
I saw Die Hard the other week.
Yeah.
And the debate about whether it's a Christmas film, etc. Blah, blah, blah. But it's more like the action sequences are really well done.
It's a great film.
They're fantastically well
done.
Very
high quality.
Yeah.
It's basically, they've got this sense, they know what film they're making, and John McTiernan sets out to make it. He doesn't want to make it true, he wants to make it super real.
Yeah.
It's like a really, I don't know.
But that sequence where he's on the roof and he swings down on the fire hose, and then he swings in, and then the fire hose is coming off and he's going to the end of the.
Yeah.
The whole, it's just, I mean, it's so well done.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. It's just
it really
exciting
is.
Beat after exciting beat. And we were talking about how committed Bruce Willis's performance is, you know. He's like a coiled spring.
Yeah.
Alan Rickman's first film.
Do you know what I'm going to say, in terms of the physical commitment, I would say. Up there with Michael Crawford in some others, do I?
Yeah.
On the same level. who I know was up for it. I know who's up for that part.
Oh, Betty, I've been articulated.
I mean,
I think that's the one thing Die Hard lacks is a roller skating sequence.
Oh, Frank!
Oh,
are you coming home for Christmas?
Yeah. Oh, what are you going to do? You're limping around. You don't appear to have a gun. Yippee-ki-yay, Frank!
Betty!
That's a mash-up that's been waiting to happen.
The cat's done a whoopsie on the carpet.
Oh, Frank!
Looks like I still love that.
4545, cat's done a whoopsie. Next to
I used to love Frank Spencer.
Right, I've made a decision based on the mud experiences we've had so far.
Yeah.
We're going to go the long way here.
Okay, cool.
Stay on the track.
Yeah.
It's not much of a
Why not?
Way. It is a Christmas film.
Yeah.
Plot doesn't work without Christmas Eve.
No.
So, you know.
And it's lovely.
Whereas Moonstruck happens at Christmas time. You see Christmas trees in the background, but it doesn't matter. It's not in the story. That's it. I've settled
that
debate.
That's it.
So you're welcome.
Game over.
You're welcome. Well, let's talk running. Have you...
I've entered the 10K.
You've entered the 10K?
I've entered the 10K, yes.
This is exciting.
I've entered the run through 10K.
And that
I swallowed it. I put in the... I put in the discount code.
Yeah.
Cozy little 125 off.
Nice.
That made a huge difference. Well, I thought it's almost nothing now.
It shows how good value
it's only
in
20,
the first place.
Yeah, of course. I'll happily pay. Anyway, forget it. Moving on. Oh, Frank.
Running
why are you so money obsessed?
Oh,
Paul.
You can take the man out of Yorkshire.
25,000. But I'm looking forward to the day. Let's put it that way.
What are you going to do?
And it's worth it because it'll give me a bit of focus. Let's face it.
It's five, 6 weeks away. Is there anything... Let's talk a little bit about training. What you going? Is it? Will it change anything? You're going to put?
Oh yeah, it will. It's going to give me a little bit of focus.
Yeah.
I'll probably buy a watch at some point and start trying to do some kind of quality work before I do it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I doubt I'll beat like 44 minutes. I'm just where I'm at the moment.
Yeah, yeah.
But anything round there, I'm just looking forward to having a little run out. You know.
Yeah, yeah.
And you'll be doing the half marathon.
I am indeed doing the half. And. Again, working towards it at the moment, my rough training thing is a little bit further every week and a little bit of quality in the week.
What, in terms of the long run? I'm loving this sort of introduction of quality. This feels like quite a fairly new thing. Although you've always had the part run, which is quality. But
exactly.
It feels like you're running a bit faster occasionally in training.
Yeah, and keeping
which is amazing. Which is great.
And the family walking up there and the dog dropping the tennis ball for them. We're busy. There's the child is on my shoulders. I can't.
Yeah. Please play.
I just want someone, please. Yeah. I want to come back and do this parkrun again. Because the great thing about Hampstead Heath parkrun is pace and hills. I think that in another week or two, when it gets a bit warmer, I'd be able to persuade Julia to come down and swim in the pond on a Saturday morning. We can do.
Well, rated the ponds yesterday. It was pretty
impressive.
It was pretty cold.
Yeah.
But she's good with a cold.
Yeah, yeah. And also, you can put that cream on afterwards, can't you? Ponds cold cream.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not a joke I'm going to be able to do again. Oh, lovely stuff. Just lovely stuff.
Lovely stuff.
So
I'll do
it. Yeah,
it's
jazzy, but I have been putting. I want to put. It's after doing the ultra training. You want to keep the hills, and I've got a mountain ultra there on the horizon.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And then, I suppose the other influence is this 80-20 talk.
Yeah.
I realised that a parkrun isn't quite. It just isn't quite 20% of my week.
No, it's not. No.
And I'm just trying to bottle that fact.
Right.
Most, probably not so much once a week, once a fortnight.
Yeah.
When I'm going out for a long run, if I'm not meeting you or recording the Running Church Radio Hour or, I don't know, going to the bank, I sometimes just find myself going at a lick.
Right.
And I'm just trying to bottle that, I suppose. So you go all the way up and then go take the ridge.
Yeah.
And, but keeping it loose. I mean, in a way, last week it didn't quite fit the plan because, as I say, I generally do half my mileage in the first couple of days of the week and have a little light taper towards parkrun. That didn't happen. Not this week. There's two things I need to do if I'm going to streamline a little bit for optimal fitness. And they're so simple, but there's a big difference between simple and easy, isn't there? I need to drink less beer, and I need to eat less at lunchtime.
Simple as I assume you haven't had breakfast today.
No.
Neither have I.
This is the thing.
Here we are, it's 11 o'clock, we haven't had breakfast. I haven't eaten since about 6 yesterday.
Yeah.
Pretty hungry.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So what happens? That's the trick.
That's the trouble. Are you hungry now, though? Because I find that running is great.
Yeah.
Because I think it works the... Don't get us wrong, don't quote us on this. I'm not telling anyone to skip a meal they need. I don't want to get into any disordered eating here. But I find you sort of retraining the system that when you're running, that you don't... You stop being hungry.
Yeah.
And your body starts being efficient. It's when you sit around waiting for lunch, that's when you get hungry. But yeah, and also, this is the...
So whenever you feel like you're hungry, just go for a run. Just never eat again, just run.
Just run. Yeah,
just run.
That'll be fine, that'll work till the end of your life. Would you come soon?
Yeah.
But yeah, the other thing I was talking to my wife about it is being at home. You know, if I went home now, I'm really hungry, I've got lunch, but then I've got, a Zoom meeting in half an hour, then I'll eat a square meal. And then I'll be done. But as it is, I'd probably just get some stuff out, start eating.
And
you know,
just
a little time
on.
Passes, and any normal person would come around the house and go, "What did you do, Rob? That's an incredible answer. You could have won a pie eating competition." And the thing is, even that is fine. My weight is ticking over. If it's going in any direction, it's going down. The reason I mention this stuff is because that's all I can do. I'm doing everything else. I'm climbing up from 30 to 35 miles a week. I do all my crunches and press-ups and stretches 3 times a week. I plank 5 minutes 6 days a week. And I'm doing yoga every possible day. And I'm vegan and I'm doing intermittent fasting. All right, and all of that, not only am I doing it, I'm loving it and it's working. So it's like, well, what else can I do? And the short answer is, less beer, stop eating lunch. And when I say stop eating lunch, I do not mean don't eat lunch. I mean, once you've started eating lunch, you have to stop. Oh, hey, I'm doing a parkrun, not this Saturday, but the week after. What's that, February the 10th, 11th? I'm going to go to Dudley Parkrun.
Dudley!
Spend a little bit of time in Dudley. It's lovely, cuddly Dudley.
With Paul Tolkinson and Rob Deering.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.